Now turn with me, if you will, please, to the book of Exodus and chapter 2. I'm going to read just one or two verses from this particular chapter. You will recall that we have come so far in this chapter to the end of verse 10. And I want to read you from verse 11 to the end of verse 15. Exodus 2 and verse 11. And it came to pass in those days, when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren, and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. And he said to him that did the wrong, Wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, Who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me? And as thou killest the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, Surely this thing is known. And when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian. And he sat down by a well. May God be pleased to bless his word to us and help us to fully understand this particular portion of his word. Let me begin by reminding you that our emphasis so far upon the story of Moses has been upon Moses' parents. You will remember that their name was Amram and Jochebed. And it was right that we should begin with our emphasis upon them, because here we have what we believe is a partnership of faith. Here are two people who believed God in such a day and that generation. They believed also that Moses was a child of destiny. You remember our scriptures speak of him as being a proper child or a goodly child. The originals speak of that as being a beautiful child, and no doubt he was. But they could see that he was something special and that God had sent him. Maybe it had even been revealed to them that they knew that he would be the deliverer. But here are a couple, not only who had faith in God, but lived by their convictions. Not too many people live by their convictions. And because of that, they had courage. And they hid this child for 3 months, and when they recognized they could not hide him any more, then you'll remember they built that special ark, and they floated it upon the Nile, obeying the king on one side, and yet on the other side, of course, recognizing that they wanted this child to be delivered. And we saw how God's providence intervened. When we do all that we can for God, and when we do our best for God, God intervenes with his providence. And his providence works in the care of this baby Moses. Providence, you'll remember, is the unseen eye of God who knows all things. Providence is the hand of God working behind the scenes. And had it not been for the providence of God, where would we be today? We thankfully know that God works continually on our behalf, and nothing happens in our lives except according to his own will and purpose. Now today I want to go a little step further and speak of Moses himself, because we've come to the point in his life when we're introduced to Moses as a grown man. And really my subject is when faith says no. When faith says no. Now, the significance of this is that when we think about faith, we usually think of it in a positive sense. Faith always says yes. If you think about Abraham, God appeared to him and he believed God. And he said yes, and he went out into the desert. Of course, there always must be a negative, because he also said no to Ur just by that very same act. But you remember Lot, who was his nephew. He said yes to God. He followed Abraham. He went with him. But here was a man who did not say no to the world. And so he went to Sodom. And because he went to Sodom, it even got into his conduct and his life and so on. And he ends up in a cave of darkness, drunkenness, and debauchery. Bunyan has so many wonderful pictures, and I hope that you've read Pilgrim's Progress. If you haven't, you ought to, and reread it and reread it. But of course, Pilgrim's Progress is about the Christian pilgrimage here on earth. My point really is this, that you may remember that many people actually joined Pilgrim on his walk to the celestial city. There was Pliable, there was Worldly Wise, there was Mr. Goodwill. All of these people, and many others by the way, joined themselves to them and determined to go to Celestial City. But they fell away by the wayside. Why? Because they never learnt what it was to say no to the world. And somehow I think that Moses is a great example for every one of us to say no to the world. And in saying no to the world, we are of course saying yes to God and to his work and to his will and to his way as well. And of course you'll see both of them in the life of Moses. But how can we really see this out of the verses that we have read together? Well, of course, there are various verses in the scriptures. Moses is one of the most quoted people, the most quoted person in the whole of the Bible. So you'll find in the Old Testament, he's often quoted, especially in the Psalms. And then in the New Testament as well, he's quoted dozens of times in various ways and various forms. So I want to begin this morning, if I can, by speaking to you about Moses' choice. Look again at verse 11. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out unto his brethren. In the little words there that you have, he went out unto his brethren, you will see his choice. Now we may say, of course, and I think quite rightly, that Moses was probably the most successful of the great leaders of the Old Testament. The Jews certainly thought so and think so very today. And in the world of art, artists of the past have made statues of Moses, they've painted pictures of Moses, more than any other biblical character, simply and solely because they would regard him as the most successful leader of the Old Testament. But why was he so successful? Was it because he led the people out in that great Exodus? Was it because he wrote the law, which is, the first five books of our Bible? Well, of course, all of these things must have played a part in our understanding of Moses. But the most important point here, it seems to me, was this man was successful because of the choice that he made. Every day we make choices, don't we? And we have to make choices. And our lives are governed and controlled and formed by the choices that we make. And so it's so very, very important that we understand this choice that Moses made and help us to make the same sort of choice as well. Now I want you to notice one or two things here in these verses, and we'll turn to other verses as well. I want you to see, first of all, the moment he chose. You'll notice again in our verse, and it came to pass in those days when Moses was fully grown. Now, I want you to turn to two other scriptures with me this morning, two scriptures that we've really looked at before, but you will see these verses are a commentary upon the verses that we are considering together. So turn with me to the Acts of the Apostles and chapter 7. Where we have Stephen's defence before the council at Jerusalem. And he goes through the history of the people of God forming part of that defence. And he comes verse 20, and so we'll read that because it's the beginning of Moses. It really is something that we've already dealt with, but we'll have a look at the verses. In which time Moses was born and was exceeding fair and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and in deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. Well, that's a very interesting verse, that last verse that we read together, because it tells us a number of things, doesn't it? For instance, it tells us here that he was full 40 years old. It also tells us that it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. We'll come back to that. Now turn with me to Hebrews and chapter 11, where once again we have a commentary on the life of Moses. We read from verse 23, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward." Now you'll see once again in verse 24 that we learn something else concerning this time. It was by faith that he made this choice, and that he was come to years when he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, when you read the Epistle to the Hebrews, and no doubt you've read it many times, and you've heard messages from it, and you've studied it, and thought your own ideas from it, and I have preached from it on a number of occasions. Somehow, you put that event, when he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, about the same time that he saw the fire. Well, it wasn't at all. In fact, it was many, many, many years before that. And somehow, I want you to understand and to realise this. What we've learnt from those scriptures, he was 40 years. And at 40 years, he was a very mature man. He was also skilled in all the arts of Egypt. And if you study that, you will find that all the various disciplines that are studied in our universities today were studied by the Egyptians in those days as well. So that here is a man who is intellectually clever. There's no question about it. He is a very mature man when he came to this point. So we understand that it was a very considered choice that he made. But we also understand that it was by faith. So it was nothing to do with his intellect. It was nothing to do with his mind. It was all to do with his heart. Now somehow the moment of this is very important to me, because I think that if you fit the moment in, you will see the picture. Here is a man who was born and 3 months was with his parents. Then he was in the ark. We don't know how many days that was, but we gather, of course, it wasn't very long. And now he becomes Pharaoh's daughter's child. She gives him back to his own mother, Jochebed, who looks after him, no doubt trains him and teaches him all the things concerning Jehovah and the great history of the people of God, the Israelites. And it comes to a time when he's given back to Pharaoh's daughter. We don't know when that was. It could have been when he was 5, it could have been when he was 10, who knows. But certainly he was given back. And then he's trained in all the wisdom of the land of Egypt. And now he becomes 40. Somehow it seems to me that this must have been a special time. I know that in the Word of God there are 3 40s in the life of Moses. 40 years when he made his choice. It was 40 years that he was in the desert. And then when he's 80, he leads the people of God out of Egypt, and he's 40 years in the wilderness. So he dies at 120. So 3 times 40, which is quite significant in Scripture, and no doubt we will comment on the number of this at another time. But what happened when he was 40 for him to come to this moment of choice? Well, it may have been at this age he had an offer. And the offer would have been that because he was the only child of this woman, and we understand from history that he was now in line to become the Pharaoh. Perhaps he would have become the viceroy. That meant that he would have become the under-pharaoh at that particular time. And so he had to make a choice at that moment. Isn't it remarkable that things come into our lives when we do come to that point of crisis and we have to make a choice? It certainly seems to me that it happened to Moses. Now, the second thing I want you to notice here is the making of this choice. We've thought about the moment, and the book of Hebrews tells us really what he refused. He refused, the word of God says. That is why I said, when faith has to say no. And you and I, in our lives, there are so many things that we have to say no to. Even in the flesh and in our bodies, we would like to say yes to them. We must say no if we're to do the will of God. Now, in the book of Hebrews, it tells us one or two things. Let me just show you what I mean. It says there that he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That is why I believe that this came to a point when he would have been made Pharaoh, or perhaps the viceroy to Pharaoh at that time. So the first thing that he refused was position. Imagine turning such a thing down. And the second thing that we read in those verses that we read together was the pleasures of sin. Well, of course, we have to call them pleasures. And you can imagine, here was a man that had every possible pleasure that was put before him. And he could have enjoyed every one that he wanted to himself. But he refused. And the third thing that we read in the Hebrews as well is the treasures in Egypt. Pharaoh certainly had all treasures of Egypt. And that came from the time of Joseph, because Joseph got the people to sell their lands to Pharaoh for corn, you remember. So that Pharaoh owned all of the treasures of Egypt. So we call that his possession. Position, pleasures, possessions, and he refused them. How remarkable this is. When you think about this, this was a huge choice. And in the book of Exodus, it simply says, and that he went out unto his own brethren. He went out to his brethren. And that's all it really says. And yet involved in that, we can see all that I've tried to say to you. Now, of course, we know what he accepted. Again, the book of Hebrews tells us that he suffered affliction, that he had reproach, that he knew what it was to have the wrath of a king. 3 things once again. These speak of afflictions, of the association with a despised people, and the abuse that they suffered would be his as well. Oh, my friend, you know that I don't need to apply this to us, but I do will just say this, that this is exactly what happens to a person who becomes a Christian. We say no to the pleasures of this life, and to the position that we might have in this life, and even to the possessions that we might enjoy. And we join ourselves and we associate with a people who are reproach in this present world. How remarkable when God calls us to make this choice. Now, the third thing that I want you to notice here is the motivation. Always look at a man's motivation. From an earthly point of view, all what he did gained him trouble, trial, and tragedy. But when you think about it, how do most people act How do most people make their choice? Well, out of what they desire. Maybe the appetites of lust or the body, base appetites. Sometimes the motivation why people do things is because of money. Maybe the motivation is because of praise of other people. The motivation is because of position or pleasure. Or sometimes a motivation could be even of vengeance upon someone else. But look at this man Moses. You see, I'm saying to you that the reason why we remember him was because of this man's choice. And because of this man's choice, we have to look, why did he do this? And all the trouble and all the trial and all the difficulty that he had, from an earthly point of view, it brought him all of that. Why then? And again, the book of Hebrews tells us, we've read it together, by faith. By faith Moses refused to be called. And so on. I remind you today, faith is the sixth sense of a Christian. It's the spiritual dimension that most people don't understand and don't even have. And because he had this faith, what do we read in these verses? Well, it means he had a supernatural victory. I read again from these verses, verse 27. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Now, here is a man who, not fearing the wrath of the king. When was that? It wasn't now, at this particular point. And I show you why, because in our verses, we read later on, don't we, in verse 15, when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses, but Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh. He did fear the wrath of Pharaoh there. What does it mean? No, there came a time when he didn't fear, and I'm going to show you that in just a moment. And then also, he had special vitality as well, because our verse there says this, by faith he endured Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured. He had this spirit of enduring. And then also in that verse as well, he had a spiritual vision. Why did he do this? Well, it's here, as seeing him who is invisible. You know, that's faith, isn't it? Why do we act as we do? Why do we come to church? Why do we serve the Lord? Why do we use all that we've got, our talents and even our money and everything that we've got for the Lord? Well, I believe it's this, seeing him who is invisible. We see God upon the throne. We see God who is our God. We see God who sent his Son into the world to die for us upon the cross at Calvary. That's our motivation. That's our motivation to live. That's our motivation to serve. So here we see then Moses' choice. I want you now to see in these verses that is here from our consideration. Now Moses' concern. Verse 11, as we go on and we read again, he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens. He looked on their burdens. And immediately I want you to see the reason why he looked on their burdens. Surely he had seen them before. Yes, I'm sure he had. He couldn't be in Egypt without seeing the slavery that they endured. But I want you to notice this word which occurs twice in this verse. He went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. Somehow it seems to me that here he had come to a point where he realized these were his brethren. And yet, it's more than that, because in Hebrews 11 it says, by faith he did this. Now we understand and we know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What word of God had come to Moses so that he had faith to see that these were his brethren, and that perhaps he had been called to be the deliverer, the emancipator, the leader of this people out of their bondage. You see, somehow this concern that he had was because God had given him a call. I don't know when it happened, but I do believe that Moses had a revelation, that Moses heard God speaking to him. And Moses understood that God put his hand upon it. That's why he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That's why he turned his back upon all the things he would have had in Egypt, because God spoke to him. And because God spoke to him, he now had faith. And when he had faith, he saw that these were his brethren, that he was one of them. But we know that he acted too hastily. How did he act too hastily? Oh, he had a call, but he didn't have a command. And there's the difference. Sometimes, you know, God puts his hand upon us and gives us a call. And we've got to be patient to wait for them a command. Sometimes we act far too hastily and we jump in and we try to do it all ourselves instead of waiting for God and waiting patiently upon the Lord. That's why we sang this morning that psalm, I waited patiently for the Lord. So the first thing you see here is the reason. I want you now to see the revenge. We know the story very well, but look at the last part of verse 11. He spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren, and he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. His revenge. He saw an injustice taking place, and he responded. We understand, don't we? This slavery was very, very brutal and very cruel. And of course, here was a man who had come to his brethren. So he steps in. But Moses was wrong, wasn't he, in doing this? Look at this verse again, in verse 12. And he looked this way and that way. Somehow it seems to me that the only way he didn't look was up. And you know as well as I do, before we act, before we do anything, we should look up to the Lord for leading and guidance. But that's the only way that he didn't look. And you see, what he had begun to do here was to deliver them. But this wasn't God's way. This was deliverance in his own strength, by his own body, by what he could do. And there's no command for him to do this. He's hasty. And he's hasty to do God's work in his own strength. And you see, Moses has got to learn patience. With all his learning, he still hadn't learned patiently waiting upon the Lord. And yet we're just like that. Sometimes we try to do the Lord's work in our own strength. We try to do things that we ought to just wait for the Lord to give us the strength and the energy and the power and the anointing of his Spirit and the fullness of his Spirit. And unless that comes, there'll never be anything. And Moses was of no use at this point, even though he was a strong man and an intellectual man and he had a position and everything else. Listen, Moses could not do it in his own strength. He had to wait. And that's why God had to take him elsewhere. So the third thing you see here is rebuke. Verses 13 and 14. And he went out the second day. Behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. And he said to him that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. Could you imagine the surprise that Moses had? He'd look this way and he'd look that way. He hadn't looked God's way, had he? And so, if they had seen him, surely he expected praise. But now he has scorn and condemnation from an Israelite. My friend, I'm sure we understand, don't we? It never works to try and do God's work in our own way. in our own plan, in our own strength. And Moses is shocked by this. He's shocked. And you know, again, the commentary from it, from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 7 and verse 24, is quite interesting, because it says here, "And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him, and avenged him that was oppressed, and smote the Egyptian, for he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them. But they understood not." Significant words there, because what those words actually said, he thought they would understand. He thought that they would realize it was by his hand, that God would deliver them. But they understood not. Israel wasn't ready, were they? But neither was Moses. And that's the point, really. Sometimes we think that people are ready to see us, because God has his hand upon me and everyone's ready to accept what I have to say and so on. No, they're not. And they won't accept us unless God is in it. Unless God himself has worked upon their hearts and upon my heart. So we've got to be ready, absolutely ready, for when God deals with us. This morning, we've tried to see something of the reason for his success. It was Moses' choice. And then Moses' concern. Because he was a man who really was concerned. And finally, I want to speak to you about Moses' consequences. Because he acted in such a manner, there were consequences. There always are. And there will be for us as well. You know, there was a book written some years ago, and I have it somewhere. I looked for it yesterday. I couldn't quite see it in my library, but at least I've read it, most of it, and I have it somewhere. But the book is called, it is simply, What If? And some of you may remember. What If? And the book is written as a supposition. What if events hadn't taken place in the history of mankind? The history would be entirely different. What if this battle hadn't occurred? And what if he hadn't have won there? Or they hadn't have won there? In Paul's missionary journey, for instance, the man from Macedonia, he had the vision, didn't he? Come over and help us. Well, supposing if Moses, instead of going to the west, went to the east. Listen, where would we be today? What if? I think we would have been under blindness and we wouldn't be here in this church. It's amazing, isn't it, really? What if? But of course that didn't happen. Let me just put this question here. What if Moses had waited God's time? My, he'd have saved a great deal of suffering, wouldn't he? He'd have saved a great deal of time. Wouldn't have had to go 40 years into the desert, would he? And then come back? What if? Look back on our lives. What if we hadn't made a mistake? What if we hadn't done that? What if we hadn't sinned? What if only we'd have come into the service of the Lord earlier? What if? But somehow, of course, that's wrong to look back like that, isn't it? But it's an interesting point, isn't it, here in this life of Moses? Because somehow it seems to me that because he did this sin, he did this in his own strength, in his own striving, then he went for 40 years into the wilderness. And then he came back. Look at the generation of people that have been lost. Because of him doing that. 40 years, people died. Could have been emancipated if he only waited upon God. Now there's three things here. I just want to show you them very briefly. First of all, you see the anger of Pharaoh. Look at verse 15. Now, when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. Moses had already stirred up trouble by his decision to leave the household of Pharaoh. You can imagine how angry they were with him. But now, he was killing taskmasters. But the anger wasn't for that, was it? Pharaoh didn't care about one taskmaster being killed. No, it wasn't that. It was because he was trying to deliver the Israelites. That's why Pharaoh was angry. And Moses has become a dangerous person. My friend, Pharaoh in Scripture is a type of Satan. And Satan is always angry. When a man or a woman seeks to deliver those who are lost in sin and under the bondage of the devil, anyone is in the devil's mind who seeks to do God's work. And we have to be careful, because when you seek to do God's work in any way, oh yes, not the anger of Pharaoh, but the anger of the devil. Notice secondly the action of Moses. Verse 15 again, and the next part of that verse. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. The action of Moses. What did he do? Well, our verse tells us, doesn't it? It says Moses feared in verse 14, and now Moses fled. That is why I said to you that the verses in Hebrews cannot really refer to this particular occasion. And you see, here is Moses fearful. Isn't he? He's fearful. That's why he runs for his life. Why is he fearful? Doesn't he believe in the God of heaven? Yes, he does. But he's out of the will of God. Out of the will of God. Now, the later picture you see here in Hebrews is that Moses is not fearful, is he? Look at him as he stands before Pharaoh, who is a greater Pharaoh than this Pharaoh, by the way, and is more fierce and more brutal and evil in every sense. But Moses is not fearful at all. We see him standing before this fierce Pharaoh unflinchingly and unafraid. Why? He's in the will of God. You see, when you're in the will of God, you have nothing to fear about. If you're not in the will of God, you do have plenty to fear about. And Moses ran for his life. What a difference between the two Moses. If we're in the will of God, we can have boldness. If we're not in the will of God, we better run for our lives. Now, the final thing you see here is the answer of God. I don't know if you see anything in this, but look at it. The last part of verse 15. And dwelt in the land of Midian and sat down by a well. Do you know those verses describe 40 years? I don't think he sat by a well for 40 years. But what does the picture really show you here? It's a picture of calmness and rest. He sat down by a well in Midian. Midian was south of Moab. It was east of the Red Sea, if you look at a map. And it was a place of protection and refuge as far as Moses is concerned. Remember, the Midianites were descendants of Abraham with Keturah, the second wife that he had. But here's God's provision for him. Oh yes, he tried to do it in his own striving. And therefore, of course, doing it in his own striving, it was of no value. But God knew his servant. He was going to teach him and train him. And for 40 years he's in Midian, as we'll see. And we'll see how God taught him. And how God taught him things that he would never ever learn in Egypt. Things that would help him as he goes through the wilderness with the children of Israel. This was God's supply for him. It was another place to teach him and train him. But I come back to that point that I mentioned a moment ago. What if Moses had waited upon God? What if Moses hadn't acted hastily? What if Moses had wanted to say, Lord, whatever you want, I'll do. Moses perhaps would have been used much earlier. How many years, how much have we wasted because we haven't waited upon the Lord as we should? Well, may God bless his word to us this morning and help us to understand something in the life of Moses.